It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys. Hair on the ass of conventional fantasy football wisdom. Here they are, Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's better to be the hair or the ass in that scenario. Anyway, we're the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin?
Lyle.
Would you rather be the hair or the ass?
I guess the hair. If you're an ass, you're just an ass. If you're hair on the ass...
Neither one's a good
look,
bro.
You got options. You can get cut off of there. If you're the ass, you're always
but then,
ass.
But then you're useless.
Are you?
If you're shaved hair off of...
They donate you to some kind of charity, end up on with some cancer kid... You know,
see now we're getting into an area.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. We're the Fantasy Football Guys, and it is an exciting time of year for those of us who play fantasy football because training camps have started league wide.
Finally,
no, I'm sure there's some teams that haven't started yet as we put this to.
Yeah, I think veterans are reporting for like half of the teams today.
Yeah. Right,
like whatever.
Right, but camp by
next week, we're in full swing, right, where the season's officially started. You know?
And pretty soon, we're going to have the Hall of Fame game and all those things. So, you know, when we actually can turn on the television and see live football, because you know what? Up until like last weekend and the week before, I'm watching like replays of the Red Zone channel.
You know what's
stuff.
Really sad? The other day, I was watching the NFL Network, as I often do. Dude, this a game comes on. It's an NFL replay game, right? Because they don't have anything to do in the middle of the day.
Sure.
There's nothing to do. Right. Or talk about. So I'm like, when did Atlanta play the Patriots last year? I'm like, I don't.
That's
did they
rough,
play?
Dude.
I was like, well, I don't think they played last year. Then I was like, oh, it was the Super Bowl.
It was the Superb Owl. That's rough, dude.
Yeah. I was just like, for a minute there, I was like, I don't remember them. Because I feel like that would have been a big deal, like with, you know, Matt Ryan. I know.
It was pretty much as big a deal as you can get.
I know.
For a football game.
I had like a horrific brain fart for a minute. It was really funny because I was laughing at myself, as I often do.
And now we're laughing at you as well.
That's totally fine. I mean, you know, you get out of the swing of things for a little bit, you know, 4 or 5 months. I mean, obviously, I remember the Super Bowl. It was probably the greatest Super Bowl ever, maybe.
Well, not if you're...
Not if
Falcons
you're an Atlanta fan, right? But, you know, but just for a minute there, I couldn't place it. I was like, it seems familiar for some reason.
Yeah,
meanwhile, the field is just graffitied with Super Bowl logos. And
hard to miss those.
Yeah.
Logos on everybody's uniform.
And I had it on mute, so they're not. I couldn't hear anything.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. I thought that was really
funny. That's the second shameful story you've told me today.
That is true.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about the first shameful
Maybe
story.
Maybe on random we will.
Maybe we will, yeah. Anyway.
We're old.
Well, I'm not as ashamed as you are.
No, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, okay, so let's look at some news real quick. You know, there's lots of injury news to go over, of course, because camp has started.
Kenny Dixon
out for the season.
Yeah,
they picked up Bobby Rainey to take his place. So I don't. If I'm Danny Woodhead, I'm not really looking over my shoulder for Bobby Rainey.
No, but the thing is, and you said this before the show, you're like, you really like Woodhead now.
I liked
not
him before.
Not you didn't like him before, actually, right, but you really, really like him now. I don't know that it changes his value that much.
I don't think so, because I think he's going to do what he was doing.
Right, exactly. So we know he's not an every down back. He's certainly not a bruiser. You're not going to pull him in when you're, you know, first and goal at the one.
Right.
Most likely, unless you're running a gadget play or something like that.
Jet sweep. Or,
right, yeah. So I don't know that it affects his value that much, other than he might get a couple of other plays.
The play calling may change because
right.
they don't have the, anyway, right so... So that's interesting, and that can have value if you see Woodhead's ADP going up.
Do you know the official injury? Because I read it was a meniscus, and then I thought it was not an ACL, but an MCL.
I've heard a couple different things, and they may have come right out with the actual injury, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Another interesting thing that's really not going to affect anybody, I hope. Cardale Jones traded to the Chargers. The Bills just figured they could cut him loose. The project is over in Buffalo, yet begins in L.A., which still sounds weird to say. Joe Flacco dealing with a minor injury. So if you're looking for him in the 17th round this year, he may not be worth taking in the 17th. Let's see what we got here. Jordan Reed placed on the PUP list by the Redskins.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, he was put there earlier today. He's been experiencing pain and soreness in his big toe and will undergo further evaluation.
Dude, turf toe's no joke, man.
Yeah, I don't know if it's turf or if it's something else, but
it's, you know, it doesn't matter.
Pain in the big toe ain't no joke.
Yeah. Probably turf toe, though.
Yeah, probably. Demaryius Thomas dropped 12 pounds in the offseason.
Good for him.
Down to 212. So good for him. I guess that's going to make him faster or something. I don't know. It looks like the quarterback situation in Cleveland is heating up. Cody Kessler is going
to... Wait a minute. No, it's not. No, it's not. And here's why. Nobody cares.
A lot of people care, dude.
Who? Are they all in Cleveland?
Well, most of them are in Ohio. I will say that. You know, Cody Kessler getting first team reps. Brock Osweiler in contention for the gig. Hugh Jackson hopes to have a starting quarterback named by the first preseason game. I would hope it will have been earned.
Right.
Not just named.
Well, I'm sure that's what he meant.
Yeah.
But he didn't say
that. You can't really be sure. Let's see what we got here. What else was going on? Let's see. Okay, here we go. Maybe we can find out exactly. A torn meniscus.
Okay,
is what
so
it is
a meniscus. That doesn't seem like it's a season-long injury.
You know, I guess it's the severity
I've known people that had torn meniscus, and they were out, you know, 2 months, maybe 3 months. You know, and this early on, that puts you in October. You could come back. That's early season, man.
Well, maybe they didn't figure that they went this early in the season. They didn't want to use up their IR bring back designation.
That sucks, man.
But, you know, Terrence West is slated to open the year as a starter, so Kenneth Dixon really wasn't probably worth that designation
at this point. Yeah.
Plus Danny Woodhead's there, so we'll see how that
goes. Good old Woodcock.
Dude, you know what I saw today on Twitter? That that Lucky Whitehead, who was accused of shoplifting, mm-hmm. et cetera, mm-hmm. sat in front of Jason Garrett and said, "Coach, you've got to believe me. I didn't do this." And allegedly, Garrett said, "I don't believe you."
Wow.
And they say, "Oh, we cut him for other reasons." Yet they did not.
Right.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And they're lying to you now. So screw the Cowboys, basically. And it turns out that it was a case of mistaken identity. Lucky Whitehead, nothing to do with the crime.
That's the thing that's really amazing.
Yeah. I don't believe you.
Do you think that's real, though?
What?
Did he really said that?
I don't know. I mean, the only people who would know that would be Garrett. And Whitehead, and I'm sure Whitehead's kind of butthurt about the whole situation. So
I don't think he would make it up, though, right?
Well, you know, he may not have just said, "I don't believe you." You know, it may have been the gist of what was said, but, you know, if you condense it down into a TLDR,
right.
You know.
That's too long, didn't read for you.
For you non-internetters.
Mmfers.
Yes.
I don't know. That's a really big bummer, man, because...
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he was really going to be that big of a contributor. Because he wasn't.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. And this is the thing that always bothered me, right? If that had been Dak Prescott, they're not having that conversation even.
True. Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
It's like we support Dak all the way. The whole thing with Zeke Elliott and the whole 100%. Problems he's going through.
Absolutely.
You know? So
yeah, they're not going to cut him.
We support Zeke 100%. We're, you know, this is not him and blah, blah, you know.
Yep.
Theo Riddick healthy for training camp, and you know, you may not think that's a big deal, but
it is.
A healthy Theo Riddick in Detroit is parade through the streets type news.
Right. Best running back since Barry in Detroit. Probably not, but I don't know. Can you think of another one?
Well,
it's not like Riddick's great, but
he's not. But you know what? In a PPR,
he's solid.
He's solid.
He's a
good flex out of a PPR,
absolutely.
Which is what you need. Cole Beasley, good for camp. Greg Olson, who was thinking about holding out for contract reasons.
He reported, yeah. So.
Is in camp, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Giovanni Bernard expected to be ready for camp as well, which is, I guess, good news, unless you plan on getting Joe Mixon.
With Mixon in town, I would show up and be like, you know, yes sir, no sir.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, you know, basically it's...
You know, he's the one that's on the chopping block. They're not gonna, you know, throw out Jeremy Hill.
No.
You know, so he's the one.
They will. You know, they got a guy who can be a goal line guy now. Maybe Bernard is the guy who goes.
I don't know. He was pretty damn good.
So allegedly, Duke Johnson is being considered to move to the slot receiver spot,
I like this a lot.
You know, it depends on how he's designated in platforms, Yahoo and all those you play mm-hmm. on. He may be RB/wide receiver.
Which would be amazing.
Just like Montgomery was.
Yeah, I think this is a really great move for fantasy clubs. Who knows if it's good for the actual NFL team. But for us, awesome, right? Because he's a shifty dude, man. And he's always been super dangerous in the passing game. He's not a bad runner, but he's stuck in Cleveland. Like, what is he going to do? You know, the team sucks. Everybody sucks. They're everybody knows they're going to...
Things are looking up.
They're going to try to run the ball. They can't. So, you know what I mean?
Well, Crowell is all right.
He's okay. I said this on our website. Matter of fact, the other day, somebody was talking about like who should they keep, and Crowell was in conversation. Dude, literally on 30 other teams, I'd love him.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Dude, he's a super talented guy.
He is.
You know, but on Cleveland, he's hamstrung, man. It reminds me, and not to this level yet, but it reminds me of Steven Jackson, right? You have a supremely talented individual in a really crappy situation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's nice if your team is in the lead or close to in the lead so that you can, you know, have a running game situation for all four quarters.
Right.
They're throwing the ball by the middle of the third trying to catch up.
They have to.
It's awful.
Not only that, dude, if they run on first down and only get 3 yards, now they're all paranoid.
Well, yeah.
So. Because, you know, they don't have that guy that can get that big third down for them. So they got to pick up, you know, so they pass on second down, and then they pass on third down again.
And then they punt.
That's right. It's the old Eagles thing, right? First and 10, second and 15, third and 20, punt.
Thanks for reminding me. A couple guys opening up the season on the pup list. Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
You know what? And that's I hate to say this, you know, because he's like a you know, top of the third tier type of fella at this point. Healthy. So
here's the thing. It doesn't, like, from a fantasy perspective, it doesn't bother me so much about Luck, but it just kills T.Y. Hilton for me.
It kills Hilton. It kills Moncrief.
Moncrief's a little bit further down, so we could probably get away with, you know, if he doesn't start performing until, you know, week 4, week 5, we can deal with that.
Right.
But Hilton's a second rounder right now, ADP.
Or not now.
Right.
You know, because, thanks. Andrew Luck is throwing. Well, we wanted him throwing in March. We don't want him throwing now. So,
right.
Well, it's better now than never, but.
These are those types of situations, and we're going to talk about draft strategy here, that you just avoid. I mean, listen, you can get a bargain on a guy later on. Like, so if Hilton starts at a drop and now he's available in the 5th round, okay. Now I will roll those dice.
Right. But
second round, no thanks.
Latavius Murray opening camp on the pup list for Minnesota. That ankle's still bothering him, so he's going to open up on pup. So I guess, you know, it's precautionary at this point, but Dalvin Cook, who is expected to have a pretty decent role on the team anyway, maybe now has an expanded role, at least early.
Maybe.
Until Murray comes back.
Listen, I really like Minnesota, man. So I think that they have a chance to do a lot of damage this year. I mean, you know, apparently Bradford's doing all the right things. He's comfortable in the system.
Yeah,
you know,
second blah, year. Blah, blah. Actually, this is going to be the first time that he has a second year in the system in a long time.
I know.
If ever.
He was going to do it with the Eagles.
Right, but then he got traded.
Yeah. But the system wouldn't have been the same, right? It would have been a little bit different.
Yeah, it would have been different.
Yeah.
Well, he's got Shermer up in Minnesota, so.
That's true, yeah.
You know what? This is a story we've heard, a million times. Sammy Watkins, not yet 100%.
Yeah.
Which means he's not going to be all season, more than likely.
Again, another guy that's on my avoid list. I love him talent-wise. And, you know, he reminds me of, like, Keenan Allen, if Keenan Allen never really got healthy. Right. See, the problem with Keenan Allen is we saw him healthy and how good he was, and then he got hurt,
And we want that.
Right. And we're like, oh, we see Sammy for a game. Right. He blows up, and then he's hurt for 4 weeks, and, you know, he doesn't see the field. So
it's bad for Buffalo.
It's bad.
And it's bad for fantasy owners.
It is. Again, another guy that I'm just like, you know what? I'll let somebody else take that risk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good wide receivers out there.
Let him be healthy for a couple of years.
Yep.
Then I'll take a look.
Then I'll take a look.
Another guy who's not, quote, unquote, 100% for the start of camp is Seattle Seahawks running back Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
You know.
Good old fat Eddie.
Well, you know, supposedly, as they say here in Delaware, he's sleeker.
Okay.
We'll see. and it doesn't bode well that he's not 100%.
You know, I don't have high expectations for him anyway. He's a guy that I'd like to see do a little damage, but
In Seattle's run first scheme,
you would think
he, you know, if he's going to be the starter, he can be a guy who can be,
but Green Bay
running back too.
Green Bay has had a pretty goddamn good team, and Lacy has just consistently been inconsistent.
Consistent inconsistency.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a great quality.
That's kind of like,
I don't know.
Deep something?
Is it? It's very meta.
All right. So that's enough news. We could talk about camp injuries forever, but we're not going to.
That's right.
All right. So.
So.
What we're going to do is today, I mean, it's since camp has started, people are starting to talk about drafts now. And we need to do that, I guess.
Listen, everything we say here, take with a grain of salt, because we have no idea what's coming this season.
Right, but we're not actually going to talk about players per se.
Well, we will.
We will.
We
as
probably
examples.
Will.
But really, what we want to talk about today is
strategy.
Is drafting.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different types of drafts, and we may not cover all of them. The big ones, of course, are the snake drafts, redraft leagues. Mm-hmm. Some are keepers. Hopefully you haven't had to name your keeper yet, but you know, that's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Well, in that one league that I just joined and Kevin just joined as well.
Who's your keeper?
I think I'm keeping Ty Montgomery.
You know, I was wondering about that guy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your team. Lyle and I just joined another guy who's in our main money league. He joined that league last year. He and another guy invited us to another league. That we're going to join.
Also
and
a money league.
It's a money league.
It's a
one-keeper league, right? So
a couple people dropped out, so we inherited teams, and it's a one-keeper.
Right. So, yeah, I was looking at Ty Montgomery. I thought maybe Isaiah Crowe would be a guy you'd keep, but...
Again, love him, but I just don't trust the system. If you ask me who's going to outperform each other this year, I'm taking Ty.
Yeah, he's a safer bet, to be sure.
He is, and I think I get him for literally nothing.
Yeah.
I have to check again, but...
Well, I'm
he was an ad last year, so I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For a pickup?
Settled by an email.
We just joined this league. I joined it yesterday, so.
Yeah. Well, this is the league I was telling about last show where
That's
I dropped
right.
out.
Yeah.
And then this is so. Another guy dropped out, so I brought Lyle in. So I'm bringing in Terrell Pryor for a 15th. I could get Jordy Nelson for a second.
That's a good take, but it's probably... Par value, Pryor
right,
for
right.
15th is kind of ridiculous.
Right. I think Pryor is, you know, 4, 5, or 6, depending on which ADP list you look
at.
Dude,
I was looking at him and the situation he's in. It would not shock me if he made the Pro Bowl this year.
It wouldn't. Me either.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, like 1,200 yards, maybe 7 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, because how many targets got shipped out of town when DeSean Jackson and Garcon left to go?
The answer
Frisco?
Is a shit ton.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to throw the ball to somebody, and you got, you know.
And Jordan Reed's on the freaking pup now.
Right.
He'll definitely play games, but he's also going to miss games.
Yeah.
And Pryor's just that guy who finds a way to get open. And those are always the receivers, right? It's never the burners that have huge numbers all season long. It's the guys that can get open.
Right.
Right? Not that Julio Jones is slow. He's not. He's a fast guy, but he's not the fastest guy on the field.
Right. He just finds a way. He gets separation.
Same thing with Dez Bryant. Like, he's really good at getting open.
And, you know, vertically, he's
right.
He's always open.
Yep. Well, and Pryor's not that tall.
He's not.
But he can jump.
Right.
You know, and the dude can catch, man. I mean, good for him. He gets an athlete.
So I'm kind of excited about that. So
yeah.
that's a serpentine draft, as they say. Our dynasty league is a 1 through 14. You know, it doesn't snake around; it goes right back to one again. That's kind of a cool thing. Since it's a dynasty draft, it's more realistic from that perspective. If you've listened to this show at all over the past, I don't know, this is our 13th season doing this.
Is it really?
It is
13. No, it's longer than that, right?
It's 13.
05. Okay.
5, yep. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
13 years.
Lucky 13.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So if you've listened to us at all.
We should have quit at 10. We peaked at 10.
It was over at 10.
We should have quit then.
Yet here we are. We remain.
Whatever.
So, you know, if you've listened to us at all over the past 13 years, you know that we have a system we like. It's a value-based drafting system. We call it the magic formula.
It's a little bit more involved than value-based drafting.
It is. Yes. But basically what it does is and some people want to say, well, it doesn't tell us who to draft. Well, we put out ranking lists to do that. And those are our opinions, of course. But what the magic formula does for you is it tells you which position in your scoring system is more likely to be...
Let me break it down.
Oh, Lyle can break it down.
Let me break it down, Kevin.
Here it comes.
Here comes the magic formula.
Turn off the lights and light a candle.
For those of you who have already heard this spiel, feel free to fast forward 5 minutes.
or more.
Right. But for those of you that don't know about the magic formula, it's a very basic way to determine which positions are most valuable in your scoring system. So let's break this down for a minute. Okay, let's say you play in a standard league, right, where you have a quarterback. It's not a PPR, right? You have a quarterback.
Hence standard.
Right. You have a quarterback. You have two running backs. You have two wide receivers. You have a flex. You have a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. That's your starting lineup. Now, you might come to me and say, but Lyle, Aaron Rodgers fell to the second round. I have to draft him. Or, you know, insert person here that's not a running back or a wide receiver. Right? Gronk or somebody. Gronk fell to the third round.
Right.
Which is never going to happen. He's definitely going to get drafted before then. But if that happened in your draft, I would argue with you that you should never draft him, even if it's the third or fourth round. You should never draft him. And here's why. Gronk, let's see. You have a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. Those are your main. Can we agree we can punt the kicker into the defense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's six spots. Right, QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex.
Right? And a tight end.
And a tight end, sorry. So that's seven spots. So Gronk is 1/7 of your total for your score that week. Right? It's a little bit of money ball here, right? He's 1/7.
Unless you're foolish enough to put a tight end into your flex.
Sure.
Which would
But he can go off. He can have 150 yards and two touchdowns. But he's still 1/7 of your potential score. Whereas the running back, and same thing for a quarterback, whereas the running backs and the wide receivers, right, are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5/7 of your entire score. Okay?
It's true.
So that's obviously, that's the bulk of your weekly total. You know what I mean? So we devised a very simple system. Right. And we have a calculator available on our website so you can do this. And I won't go into the math to bore you guys. But basically what it does is you compare not quarterback versus running back, quarterback versus wide receiver or tight end or whatever. You need to judge running backs versus running backs, and more importantly, quarterbacks versus quarterbacks.
Yep.
Because if you draft a quarterback in the first round or the second round, right, you gave up all of the potential for anybody else you could have drafted that round. And again, that's a 1/7 of your total. If you drafted a wide receiver there, that's a potential part of that 5/7, right? So it's a much bigger contributor to
right.
your system.
You're going to need to have more of those spots to fill those five roster spots.
So to Kevin's point, you need to nail those 5 out of 7 positions, which means, and you're not going to get them all right, which means you need to draft more of them than you would quarterbacks. And where do you find the best ones?
Early.
Early on. So that's why we advocate drafting. We typically, in a standard league, it's at least 3 running backs in the first 5 rounds. We go 3 in the first 5.
Yeah.
In a PPR, it's hit or miss lately between running backs and wide receivers, but you need to draft your first 5 picks should be running backs and wide receivers in any order. You know, I would argue that if you have like an early round pick, so if you're picking 1, 2, or 3, you should probably draft a running back first. If you're picking,
right, especially this year, because you can get Johnson, you can get Bell, or you can get Zeke.
Right.
One of those three guys.
One of those three, they're home runs, right? Zeke's a little bit questionable because the changes on the line, but I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because really, after Zeke, who is there?
Well, there's a lot of people.
Worthy of three.
But they go to the back. So then I would argue, like, towards the middle of that round, probably wide receiver, right? You're going to look at
Antonio Brown,
right?
AJ Green.
Yeah, you're going to look at those guys. Then once you start to get out of the first round, you're getting close, then it becomes kind of questionable again because you got guys like Devontae Freeman, right? Where you could argue, sure, you should probably draft him. But then, you know, Jordy Nelson is there too. I've seen AJ Green slip a little bit. You have guys like Ajay and Jordan Howard, right? Dez Bryant's falling into the second round. So
Melvin Gordon.
Then
Mike Evans.
Yeah. Amari Cooper is there in the second. So you have these guys that maybe we should start talking about, you know, how do you feel? What's your scoring system? All that kind of thing. So the good news is we have a calculator that's out there right now, and you can it's linked on our website. You can go right to it. I believe it's on
that would be thefantasyfootballguys.com.
That's right. On every single page right at the top, you can link to the Magic Formula calculator and go in. And what you do is you put in your scoring system, right? And it'll give you a 1 year, 3 year, or 5 year estimate. Use the 3 or the 5.
Yeah, because 1 year is not enough of a sample size.
It's really not
size
enough of a sample size. Yeah, you need a broader kind of lens on this kind of thing. But it's an educated way, right? It's a mathematical certainty that these positions are important, right? There's no debating it. We have been through the ringer of people testing this formula, right? It's just there's no doubt that when you put in the numbers and it spits out a value, that's the most important position. And then position two is, you know, secondary and then third. It's just not questionable. Not to say you can't get lucky, but why roll those dice?
Yeah.
So go there and put in your stuff and come to your draft educated about what you're targeting. Not who, but what you're targeting.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The trick is, you know, you definitely want to get wide receivers. There's things that have been coming out in the past couple of years, the zero running back strategy, which was pretty popular last year, less popular this year because wide receiver depth is just so huge
now. It's massive.
Because really you have three receivers on a team minimum that are viable fantasy players.
The other thing is, Kevin, and I think this doesn't get talked about enough, but when you have a running back go down, somebody get hurt, right, and somebody else comes in to fill that role, most of the time, probably 75%, maybe 3 out of 4, they're not nearly as effective as that first guy was.
Whereas
wide receiver, you can have a guy step in and just pick it up. Now, that's not saying like if Julio went down and somebody stepped in for him. No, of course not. But you see receivers come up. There's more of them. And there's more spots they can play on the field. Most of the time, there's only one running back on the field.
Most of the time.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you might have a fullback too, but not a halfback. Right? So most of the time.
Yeah, because Chip Kelly's no longer coaching in the NFL.
Right. F Chip Kelly. But, you know, also most of the time, you have at least two, most of the time three wide receivers on the field.
Very often.
Yeah. So there's just more opportunity there. You know what I mean?
Right. So you look at, you know, 32 teams, three wide receivers, you know, you're talking 96 opportunities.
Right. So this is why we advocate running backs so much. Because, again, they're part of that 5 out of 7, right? You can start up to 3. So that's 3/7 of your total score.
That's almost half.
It is. And they're really hard to come by. So if you nail those 3 picks, let's say you pick 4 in the first 8 rounds.
Right.
Right? If you nail 3 of them,
you're golden.
You're golden, dude. You're going to the playoffs.
Right. If you get Zeke and you come back around and you get Jordan Howard, and then you come around and you get Lamar Miller, and 2 out of those 3 guys are 1,200-yard rushers,
right,
you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really good. Yeah, let's say you come back around in the 5th or whatever and get Ty Montgomery. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Montgomery's going. I just made that up. But yeah. I'm just saying, for example.
You know, once you get to guys, you know, a little bit further down the road.
That's the variability, Ingram. Right, of how well they can perform becomes really erratic.
Right.
So you really
they're
can't
part of a committee.
It.
They're second in a committee.
Yeah.
Now you every year there's guys who step up and they're drafted low and they finish strong.
And I see people say, "Oh well, I just you know I know how to find them gems." Well, good for you, dude. You should probably play the lottery too.
Right.
Because I've been doing this a long time. It's really difficult to find those guys.
And if you hit them, you're great. I mean, you know, you look at, okay, C.J. Anderson could be that guy this year.
Think of how many running backs.
Joe Mixon could be that guy.
Think of how many running backs you drafted, not picked up off the waiver wire. You drafted outside of the first, I'll be liberal and say six rounds, right? Outside of six rounds that were weekly performers for you. How many times?
This is our main money league last year's draft.
All right, Kevin's bringing out paper. Jesus.
Yeah, it's the 80s, man. All right, so my draft, okay? Mm-hmm. This is going to be embarrassing. The first running back I drafted was Jeremy Langford.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Who knew?
Yep.
I mean, I kind of figured...
He was slated as a starter at the beginning of last season.
And he did start. And then the next running back I took was Danny Woodhead.
Great pick.
Didn't work out for me. Then I took Derrick Henry.
Not a bad pick.
And at number 10, I took Jordan Howard at that point.
That was a good pick.
Then I have Spencer Ware.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I
Where's this 10?
Spencer Ware is 11.
Okay, and so you got Jordan Howard. So there's one outside of the top six.
He didn't finish the season with me. I know. At some point, I cut him loose.
I'm just telling you.
And look at you.
You cut Jordan Howard?
At some point, yeah.
Huh. Why?
But it took him. It was.
So you ditched him before he.
Well, yeah.
No,
I waited. I waited until he was blowing up to cut him loose.
That sucks.
So you took Zeke first round.
I did.
Then you took Keenan Allen.
Well, that was unfortunate.
Then you took Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
There's a reason you had first pick this year, dude.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins, yep. Duke Johnson,
yep.
T.J. Yeldon,
yep.
Tyler Lockett, Big Ben,
yeah.
Julius.
Mm-hmm.
Sims,
mm-hmm.
Chris Thompson.
I like Charles Sims a lot. Man.
Yeah, Jameis Winston,
mm-hmm.
D-Mac.
Yeah,
Darren McFadden. That's right. Last year, Darren McFadden was drafted by this man.
Well, I mean, dude, Zeke was in town. I didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, at the time, nobody looked at this draft and went, "What the hell was Lyle thinking?" Now, the guy who won it.
Yeah, let's see what he
did. Here's history. He took ODB first. This is Jason, who's our fantasy baseball
Jason
guy.
Jason Bounce, yeah.
ODB first round. Uh-huh. He took Jordan Reed in the second round.
That was a bad pick.
He took Forte third. He took M. Jones in the fourth. Marvin Jones in the fourth.
Okay.
Then he took Arian Foster in the fifth.
Okay.
Then
Jesus
he took
Christ.
Yeah, then he took Bolden. He took Carr. He took Christian Michael. Alf Morris. Terrell Pryor.
I can tell you what he won.
Jared Cook, Tannehill, Crabtree, Jalen Strong, Pierre Garçon, the Jags, and McManus.
Yeah, he just worked the wire.
He did.
That's
now,
how he won.
Now, hearing all of that,
mm-hmm.
Let's see who's on his team at the end.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
pull that up.
Because, you know, we're talking about the draft, but the whole thing is
that's the other thing.
You can lose it.
The draft is like 50% of your season.
It is.
You're probably going to have six players on your team that you drafted that are going to stick, right? Everybody else is up for dropping and replacing.
Okay, so he had Derek Carr, who he drafted.
Mm-hmm.
He had Rob Kelly, who he didn't draft.
Nope.
Justin Forsett, who he didn't draft.
Nope.
Beckham and Crabtree, who he did.
He did.
Dontrell Enman, who he didn't.
Nope.
Kyle Rudolph, who he didn't.
Nope.
Who cares about defense? Tom Savage, who he didn't. Christian Michael, who he did. Prior, he did. Mike Wallace, he didn't draft. Jordan Reed, he didn't draft.
Yeah, so he just worked the wire.
Dustin Hopkins, Caleb Sturgis.
Which, dude, is so important.
Yeah, he ended up with three kickers for some reason on his four on his staff.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know why. So anyway,
kid won the league.
He did. He won the league. And, you know, he wasn't even at the draft.
Yeah. I mean, the point is you have to nail this. But it's not the end of the world either. And this is what I hate about people that bail. Right?
Yeah.
They go, oh, I lost my first four games.
I'm 0-2. I'm out.
Right. No. Man, we had a dude in our league one time who lost, I think he lost every, he might have won one. I think he lost every game up to like week 7. And then he made a couple changes and then won out.
And the whole
and
thing.
And won the whole league. Yeah. It was when Chad Pennington took over.
Dude, that was so long ago.
Remember that?
Yeah. This league Lyle and I are in here, this is its like 16th year, I think.
No. Really?
Yeah. Because I think we started in 2001 at the bank.
Was it a one? Damn.
One or two. So.
Wow.
So it's either the 15th or 16th year of this. And you know what? You and I are the only constants through the entire thing.
I know.
Drew left and came back. Matt left and came back.
Yeah. Is Matt back too this year?
And Matt was back last year.
I know, but is he back in this year? Yeah. He just had a baby. That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he kicked out. He kicked himself out when he had his first baby.
Powerful shout out to Matty Webb.
Matty Webb.
Love him.
When he had his first baby, he bailed out for the year. And then after that, he realized it was ridiculous to bail out just because you're having a baby, because this doesn't take that long every week. So now he's like, I've got this, and he's staying in. So.
Well, that's what happens when you're a second dad. You're just like,
You're
like, whatever.
No need to take pictures of this kid.
Yeah, who cares?
So, if you're new to the show, if you're just listening, you know, give this magic formula calculator a shot.
I'm telling you, listen. Feel free to deviate. Okay, this is a basic guideline. It's gathering information about your league, your specific situation, right? It cannot tell you who to draft. It cannot tell you that, oh, they just had a run on tight ends, you know, so I should avoid them, or like whatever, right? Whatever happens in your draft.
Right.
But what it will do is it'll arm you with knowledge when you walk into your draft that, hey, these are the positions that are super important. And this is why Kevin and I always ignore quarterbacks. We always ignore tight ends. Kickers and defenses shouldn't even be in the conversation. Let's not even talk about them. Honestly, and Kevin will tell you, this is 100% true. Unless the league rules dictate I have to draft one.
Like the league I just left.
Yeah. I do not draft a kicker. And most of the time, I don't draft a defense either.
No, I made these two drafts because they're late enough in the
season.
They are.
They're late. But
they're usually, a week before the season starts.
Even a week, man. I'll wait and see what happens. I'll just pick somebody up. I don't care.
Yeah.
You stream defenses. You stream kickers. It really doesn't matter. You know how many times my kicker has gone on bye? And I've been like, oh, God, I got to pick up a kicker. And I go look on the waiver wire, and the number three kicker's there.
All the time.
Or two or four.
Oh, by the way, this league we just joined, right? You get a budget of $150 of fake money.
Okay.
And free agents are auctioned.
Okay.
On, I guess, Tuesday. So you have $150 to spend for the entire season. If you spend all your money, you ain't getting no more free agents.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. So, you know, you don't want to go dropping, you know, $30 the first week, and you know, unless, you know, you have to, but
I mean,
be a little judicious after that.
If somebody important goes down and somebody who's a little bit younger, like if Jeremy Hill went down, like, and Gio was on the you know, waiver wire, I might spend a little bit of money on that.
Maybe, yeah. So yeah, situation's going to dictate it, right. But, you know, he said a lot of people spent all their money in the first 3 weeks and just couldn't pick up free agents after that.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
I want that.
Oh, my God.
So, are you all right?
Yeah, it just made my heart flutter a moment? Little bit.
You're getting all dewy in the nethers?
God. You all right? Oh, dude, it's been dewy. We're talking about football.
Yeah, so, so you know, if you're wondering, you know, what the magic formula will tell you, basically what it is it'll tell you the drop-off between the number one quarterback, say, the number in down to number 12, and then down to number 24, what the drop-off is. So you go, well, I got to get Aaron Rodgers in the first round because he scores more points than anybody else. Well, what you have to wonder is, if you get the first guy, Aaron Rodgers, or you get the 12th guy, Philip Rivers, how many points that is it going to cost you on an average weekly basis to go from the first guy to the 12th guy?
Right.
And it's usually a couple of points.
It's usually not much.
Right.
And it's always far less than it would be for a running back.
Right. So you average that and you go,
a wide receiver.
The drop-off is 2.5-3 points for quarterbacks on average. But for running backs from the first to the 24th guy, it's 8 points.
It might be 6 or 8 or 11.
Whatever it is for your scoring system. Yeah. So by taking Rodgers instead of a running back, you're costing yourself 5 points a week on average.
Them. You're dropping those points. And also remember, you're costing yourself 5 points a week. But remember, you can start up to three of those running backs. So potentially any one of those spots
is worth five. That is worth,
is
that
worth
five,
5 points.
Points
yeah. Where you only have one for the quarterback. Now, granted, you can't start the same person in those three spots, but still, you're passing up a person who could potentially start in any one of those three spots.
Now, what could screw this over is two quarterback leagues.
Yes. Now, if you're in a two quarterback league, and even some leagues where they have two flexes and you have tight ends that you can start in both flexes, it gets a little bit weird. People like Gronk become way more valuable.
Well, because the tight end spot becomes a larger percentage of your total.
Now you have eight spots, and three of those eight could potentially be tight ends. So it might behoove you to draft a tight end early in those leagues to be part of that 3 of 8, right? Two quarterback leagues, 100%. If you're in a two quarterback league or like a super flex league where you can start two, almost always, and again, run the numbers to make sure, but almost always quarterbacks jump to the front.
Top.
Yeah. Almost right. Every time.
You know, if you've got a two quarterback league where touchdowns are six and you get 1 point for every 25 yards,
yeah.
It's huge. You've got to go quarterback there. So, you know, you want just like your running backs, you want a stud and then you want a second person who has high upside.
Yep.
Is basically what it is. So you want Matt Ryan and you want Tannehill, maybe not Tannehill, but you want, you know, Carson Palmer.
Somebody in that realm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, not Carson Palmer, but let's say you got...
he's the guy you're going to get in the 10th round.
Let's say you got, you know, you were back of the heap. You ended up with Russell Wilson, right? You might want to come back around and get a guy like Cousins or, you know, Big Ben or Derek Carr. Somebody who you know is going to try to put up big numbers.
Dude, you look at a guy like Matt Stafford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the 14th quarterback off the board for the most part.
For the most part,
for
yeah.
ADP.
Yeah.
You know what? I would love to have Stafford.
You know he's going to throw the football, man.
Give me Jameis Winston.
See,
off the board at 64.
The thing about a guy like Russell Wilson bothers me is I don't know that he's going to launch it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I know Drew Brees is going to throw the football a ton of times.
Yeah, you bet.
Right? Like Winston, let's talk about the young guys, like Winston and Mariota. Just not sure yet.
Well, I'm pretty sure Winston's going to. You see who they drafted?
Yeah.
They got nobody but receivers.
Doesn't
dude.
Matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that Big Ben's going to chuck it. Dude, Cam? Eh. What's he supposed to do? Oh, yeah, no, you're not going to let him run. He's gonna be a pocket quarterback. Shut up.
Right. You know Matty Ryan's going to throw it all over the yard.
I do. Phillip Rivers, another perfect example. Right. I know he's going to launch the football. That dude is going to throw for, let's be super conservative. I will bet the farm he cracks 3,700 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Probably 4K, 4,200, 4,300, something like that. But I'm just saying, I just know it. I know that's happening. Right? I don't know that about Cam.
Yeah, you don't. You can't know that about Cam.
You know? I just don't, you know.
Well, you know, MVP season the year before last, and then nothing last year.
Well, let's see.
He was a lot of people's first pick last year.
He threw for 3,500 last year. The year before, he threw for 38. But see, last year, he only had 19 touchdowns. The year before, 35.
You're talking Cam here.
Cam.
It's a huge difference.
Big difference, man. Yeah. Those are big points. I just, dude, pull up Drew Brees' stats. I mean, it's just like, digga. Like,
they're
just,
huge, yeah.
It's just, it's consistent, you know, amazing performance. So I probably won't get Drew Brees because he's always too high. I wrote an article 10 years ago. I'll never draft Peyton Manning,
right?
Because he just always went too high. But I'd love to have a guy. Look at this guy, so Drew Brees in 2016, 5,200, 37 touchdowns. Last year before that, 4,800, 32, 4,900, 33, 51, and 39. He's ball game, man. Every time. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for consistency out of these guys.
Well,
so I don't have to worry about that.
Now some talking
spot.
Heads are talking about that Brees is going to fall off this year because they're going to go to more of a running game because they got Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, dying of fire.
You know what I say?
Good luck.
He's going to throw the ball.
So, listen. I hear you. he probably, listen, I agree, he probably won't crack 5K this year. But he's going to throw 48.
Right. Or 47. He's going to throw 35
Let's
touchdowns.
Say he throws 44 and 33 touchdowns. I'm still in. Like, he's not going to suck.
But the problem is, he's going to go in the fourth round. I'm not going to get him.
Right. Yeah, that's me. Too. Yeah. 39, old Drew is.
Yeah. You know? But you
remember
know
when he had that thing on his face?
Well, he still does.
He was touched by an angel? Something. He's just got a scar now.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, when you start adding IDP instead of team defense, you got individual defensive players, which is, you know, IDP. Mm-hmm. Once you start doing that, basically those guys, you know, in every draft I've been in that was IDP, generally around 9 or 10 is when those guys start going off.
Yeah. Depends though. Sometimes they'll crack one off in the fourth round.
You'll get the occasional guy who grabs the top linebacker, whatever, in the single digit rounds. But really, you know, those guys don't start running until the back of the, you know, 9 or 10.
Jesus. Are you kidding me? I did not know this. Are you kidding me?
Well, tell the rest of us.
Okay. So Brady last year, I'm looking at all these quarterback stats. Last year, guess his yards. Remember, he missed four games.
34.
35, 54. Threw for how many touchdowns?
33. 28.
Mm-hmm. How many picks?
Two.
Correct. He threw two picks. Year before, played the full season. How many yards?
44.
47. So a full 1,200 and change. More.
So extra 300 yards average per game more.
Four games, right. How many touchdowns?
37.
36, so it's eight more touchdowns
right
in those four games. Picks. Two each. Picks.
Six?
Seven.
Wow.
Jesus, man. The guy's just... It's not even fair.
And he's 40.
It's not even
and
fair.
And his wife makes $43 million a year.
Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah. But you admire him.
Yeah. I do. I mean, dude, he's the GOAT, man. I'm not going to dispute it.
You know, we don't want to drop into more Tom Brady Hall gargling at this point.
Why not?
We do that a lot. And we're not even Patriots fans.
He's the best, man. He just is. I respect that. I mean, listen, you want to talk about Barry Sanders? We can talk about him. He's been out of the game since I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm more than willing to discuss it.
All righty then. So let's talk about... let's talk about auction drafting. Because one guy...
he quit in 99.
Who did?
Barry.
Wow.
Might have been 98. He was inducted in 04, so I'm doing the five-year.
Right.
So I have to look at the actual stats.
So, you know, one guy sent us an email and said, hey, guys, could you dedicate a show just to auction drafting? And the answer, of course, was no, because you really don't have to talk a whole lot about auction drafting. There's a few tips that we like to tell guys. And really, more so than serpentine drafts, and this is the reason why a lot of people like these, is really auction drafting is almost just like playing poker, just like playing Texas Hold'em Live.
It kind of is.
Because it's deception, it's patience. And it's gamesmanship, and you're looking at other people's reactions, and it's not poker in the way that, you know, money's on the line in most cases right away, but, you know, you really do kind of have to have a strategy going in. But you also have to be, you know, not afraid to deviate from that strategy if events dictate that you have to. So If you want to land David Johnson, you know, go for it. If you want to get David Johnson and Lev Bell, you can probably do that too. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to spend, you know, 75% of your budget, but you can probably get that done. So what I usually like to do is go for a stud running back and like maybe a back end tier one running a wide receiver, and then fill up the rest of my roster of wide receivers and running backs to like $5 to $15 guys.
Right.
And get a quarterback and tight end value later, and then pay a buck for a defense that's playing the worst offense of the league in the league week one, and then just basically stream
from
there.
Yeah, right.
So, but if mad value presents itself early, then I immediately want to tweak that strategy and pull the trigger, you know, on a guy who I perceive as massive value. So, you know, and basically the mantra is lots of inflexible guys who are walk into an auction draft and go, I'm going to stick with this strategy, and I'm not. There's a lot of those guys who miss the playoffs every single year.
No,
and that's regardless or irregardless of what type of strategy or draft you're in.
Right.
You've got to be flexible in this, right?
Yeah.
So before you go into the even before you go into the draft in any draft really. You got to do research before you walk in the room. You know, I love it when league mates of mine walk in clutching a magazine, and that's really what they're going to draft from. Because number one, that magazine was printed in April, so you know none of it's pertinent. And you know with the internet now, I mean obviously you know in the old days people would walk in with magazines. Now people walk in with a computer and go to you know Yahoo or whatever, and that's where they get their draft list from. Some people, you know, actually download ours, which is kind of fun. Anyway, so what you need to do is, you know, review your league's rules. What's the scoring rules? Is your league PPR? If it is, you're going to want to target running backs to catch passes, obviously. Does your league give, you know, points for return yards? Yeah, okay, well, then you're going to want to get guys who return punts and kicks and have upside on offense, like Tyler Lockett, right? If your league is IDP, then, you know, study the previous year's league IDF scoring leaders and target positions appropriately. If the scoring system is heavily weighted toward tackles, then maybe you want to grab linebackers. But take a look at last year's scoring and see what positions scored highest, especially in an IDP, okay? So, you know, basically, you got to do your research and know the league you're going into. You know, I've spent 10 minutes looking at the rules of the new league Lyle and I are going into, and I already have a loose strategy about how I'm going to play it. But, dude, how many times have we been in a draft, and halfway through the draft, somebody goes, oh, this league is PPR?
Yeah.
It's happened a lot.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You gotta know.
That's the kind of research you got to do. I mean, that's a ridiculous example,
it's
happened.
It's basic stuff. Like, don't come into a game and not know the rules of the game, right? Because they're all different.
Yeah.
A bunch of different stuff can be laid out in front of you that will dramatically affect the way that you approach drafting for this league and playing in it going forward, right? So know your system is probably the most important thing.
Rule one, dude.
Right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, you have to know the NFL a little bit. You have to be familiar with the players and all that kind of stuff.
That's the next tip, is don't be the guy who nominates a retired player.
Well, that's happened to me, too. In fact, it was Barry Sanders.
Yeah, well, you did that for a reason, because maybe he comes back.
Maybe he came back, right. But he was drafted early in the league that I was in. It wasn't super early, but it was like probably fifth or sixth round.
You remember, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but he was, you know.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and he drafted Shannon Sharp.
Yes, he
after
did.
Retirement.
After retirement.
And nobody said a word.
Nope, didn't say a word to him.
The room did go freakishly
quiet. We
all kind of
looked at each other a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to come back from something like that. And, you know, dude's not in the league anymore, actually.
Yeah.
Another rule for auction drafting, don't let guys get players undervalued. So if you see a guy that's about to go for like $10 less than his perceived value, yeah, throw a bid on him, right? Chances are the other guy is going to respond, costing that player a few more dollars. But if nobody else bids, then you get a player for great value.
Yeah.
It's a win-win situation
it's
for you.
It's a win-win.
Right. Don't ever.
The only exception to that would be players that are super on your avoid list. So there might be a reason the rest of the draft is avoiding him too.
Well, that's probably part of your strategy as
Maybe,
well.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you want to walk in saying, okay, unless I get this guy for crazy value toward the back, I can get him for $2 and it's a flyer. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Right.
But, you know, you're not going to want to spend, you know, more than a couple bucks on him, right?
Sure.
Let's see. Don't overspend on a player at the back end of a tier unless you absolutely love that guy, okay? Value can be found at the top of the next tier. There is a caveat to this, right? Don't get caught up in perceived value. It kind of goes against the previous tip, but if you love a player and you want him on your team, draft him, really. You know, because it's your budget after all. Once the draft is over, pre-draft value means absolutely nothing, really.
So let me ask you a question.
But having the guy you want on your team is all important.
Yeah, so this is the guy that kind of confuses me a little bit, is Jordan Howard. I have him at the back end of tier two, roughly.
Yeah.
Right? But then you work into tier three. You guys got DeMarco Murray, maybe. Gurley, Fournette. Lamar Miller, maybe Crowell's in there too, right? You have a bunch of guys. So that's where it gets a little bit fuzzy for me. Like, because I don't love Jordan Howard enough. Again, not because of the talent, because of the situation.
Right.
To be like, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, the thing is that his line has actually improved a little.
I like him.
Right. Now, last year he didn't have much either, because a lot of what he was running with was Barkley at quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And a makeshift line that really didn't do well, and he still lit it up.
So let me ask you a question then. Let me lay out four or five guys. You have Freeman, Devonta Freeman, let's say Jay Ajayi, Howard, Murray, and Todd Gurley, right? So you have those five guys there. They're roughly the same, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Freeman's at the front end,
probably
of that
the top end, and maybe Gurley's at the bottom end of that tier.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, DeMarco Murray's somewhere in the middle. We don't really know.
And Howard's also in the middle.
Right.
Did you mention who else? You put Gurley in there. I think he's probably at the back.
I did. Okay. Yeah. I mentioned Fournette and then a couple other players like Lamar Miller and stuff. Yeah. But still, they're all roughly the same to me. So if I'm bidding and I don't get my price on Jordan Howard, who's probably my highest ranked guy, or maybe not. Freeman's probably my highest. So let's say I'm bidding on Freeman and I don't get my price for him. Is my price the same for Gurley, who's at the bottom end of that tier, in our opinion? Or do we cut it back a little bit for each rung we go down?
I would, yeah. It has to, you know, and basically it comes down to the knowledge of the people you're auctioning with.
That's true. That's the, right. Probably the biggest factor in the whole, yeah, damn thing.
Because if I'm auctioning against you, I'm going to have a problem, because I know you're going to walk in the door prepared.
Right.
You know, the guys we're going to be drafting against in this
magazine
league,
I heard you mention, right, the magazine.
Yeah. We know Brian.
Yeah.
I know Brian. You've met Brian once. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I've met him. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know anybody else. I have no idea what their fantasy football acumen is.
He's a dick.
You know he listens, right?
I knew. That's why I said it. No, I'm just messing with you, Brian.
No, you're right. He's a dick. Anyway, so
you're a dick,
Brian. Dude, he's gonna be hitting me up on same time tomorrow.
What's up?
You guys suck,
dude. I'm totally just kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
psych, you're a dick.
So yeah, we have no idea how prepared these guys are going to walk in.
I go into a draft assuming people are prepared, and this has always been super difficult for us since we've became popular doing this show.
Well, semi-popular.
Well, I mean, more than like just nobody listens to us. People do.
Right.
So we have a following, however small it is. Drafting in those leagues where people know our strategy, we're literally laying it out in this show. We're, yeah, talking about it.
Right.
It becomes problematic and it's very difficult. And Kevin and I were reminiscing a bit before the show of some people that have been in our leagues and were aware of the stuff that we did. And we always bring our own draft lists. And I encourage you guys to always do that, right? Always make your own list. You know, start with somebody else's, right? But adjust things to your liking, right? Move people up and down that list for you and how you perceive things. It's a way to become better educated on how to approach your league, right? Because any of these draft lists you get, including ours, right, are not going to apply to your specific situation 100%. So please start with a baseline, but make your own. And that's what Kevin and I do. And we release our draft lists every year, our rankings, and we go into drafts with those rankings. And, you know, almost, I would say 6 years in a row, there was a person in our league that would sit directly next to one of us. With our list in their hand. And they would be drafting near us, either, you know, a couple spots ahead or behind or, you know, directly next to us. And it would just murder our draft, right? And this is a person that clearly didn't do any research, right? Just grabbed our stuff, which is fine.
That's what we're here
it's
for.
It's fair. But at the same time, it's a little disheartening because, yeah, we also want to play fantasy football. Like, we just want to play too. You know what I mean? Like, we like to talk about it and debate all this stuff, but we also want to go in a league and just, you know, play and have fun like everybody else.
Yeah, that's why it's hard when we do the TFFG leagues, yeah. Because...
Oh, those are rough. Yeah. I don't think I've ever won one of those.
I haven't. Because we tell people how to beat us every week.
I've gotten close. I think I made the playoffs like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. And we have a money league too.
That's yeah, we do. Weird. Yeah, that one's rough.
Yeah. So, you know... But I get your point of
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Of, you know, but I do think you drop down a little bit. Getting back to the original thing, you drop back down a little bit as you go through a tier.
A couple dollars, whatever the rate is that you're going at right now. Let's say it's a $20-$30 player. You might dial that back to 25 to 15 to 23.
Well, and that's the thing, dude. It's, you know, an auction draft is capitalism at its finest. The market dictates the price of everything that's for sale.
It does, but it's an unintelligent market.
Maybe it is.
It's not a willing. So the definition of a capitalism market is an informed public, right? Right, making decisions. Right. So right. They might not be informed. They might be, you know, just blasting off on, you know, Odell Beckham, whereas, you know, that might not be the best money spent. So right. You have to also be cognizant of the rule set. And the tiers and a lot of other stuff to make sure that you're not overvaluing a player.
Right.
Almost always, I've been in a few auction leagues. I don't think I've ever seen this actually happen where the number one, number two, number three player went a little bit under value.
It always went over the sheet.
David Johnson, forget about him.
Right.
Don't go after him. Probably that applies to Lev Bell. It probably applies to Antonio Brown. Any number one player at their position, just forget about them.
Which brings me to the next point. Perfect segue.
Okay.
Nominate high-value players early.
Yes.
But not players you really want necessarily.
Right.
Okay.
So here's me.
Right.
Love LeSean McCoy this year. Right, I'm bumping mad running backs before him. I might even go like Mel Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Jordan. I might nominate those guys before I do
right
McCoy.
And the idea is let you know obviously somebody's going to throw Johnson out there, somebody's going to throw Zeke out there. But the idea is get other owners to dive deep into their wallets before you have to get into yours.
Right,
right,
right.
So you know, resolve yourself not to try for Gronk and Kelsey, but nominate those guys right away.
Right.
Let people go after those tight ends, absolutely. And then you slide in and you grab Ertz or you grab
all those quarterbacks. So the magic formula applies here too.
It does.
Nominate those quarterbacks. Nominate those tight ends. Right. Absolutely. Put them up for auction.
Hell, you know what? Throw the top kicker out there. If you can get somebody to spend $3 on a kicker,
absolutely,
that means they don't have $2 to spend later in the draft when you're getting guys for $1 that can help your team. You know?
Very valid strategy.
Right. So, you know, also after the top value players go, like the guys we're talking about, also nominate some hyped sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys like, you know, people are going, John Brown can catch again and he's healthy. Throw that dude out there.
Dude, Eddie Lacy bothers me.
Yeah.
He bothers me. Throw him out there.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, also, one thing a lot of guys don't do in serpentine drafts, in most cases, there's either a board that's up there that people can look at, or there's paper that people have. But in an auction draft, I've seen a lot of guys not pay attention to other players' rosters.
Yeah.
You know, always keep a look at what those guys are doing. So even if they seem set at a position, but they're still bidding on a position that they've already set at, they're likely trying to drive up prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get caught up in that game. You know, if they're trying to drive prices up so they can kill budgets, don't play it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, you definitely want to, you know, hold back a few bucks at the end when you can get really high upside sleepers. For a dollar. So, you know, the biggest sin really in an auction draft is having money left over because that's a missed opportunity. You know, like I say, you should have empty hands and a full roster and a big S-eaten grin on your grill
right
at the end of it. So, man, you know, those are some auction tips right there.
I mean, that's basic auction strategy.
Yeah.
Again, you have to adapt to your own situation. But I think, you know, those are some really good tips to go into a draft with. And you know, not necessarily dominate, but just, you know, again, like Kevin said at the very beginning, it's poker.
It is.
These people, for those few hours, are not your friends. They are. You're trying to beat them.
Drink their beer. Eat their food.
Yeah.
You know? And
beat them out of that awesome player.
Yeah. I was reading a guy the other day. He said, you know, it was on Reddit, fantasy football subreddit. He was talking about, you know, he went and got David Johnson and Lev Bell, spent 75% of his budget, and posted his team, and he did okay.
Yeah.
He did all right. You know, but, you know, if one of those two guys go down with injury, or if Lev Bell smokes weed again,
all right, he's done.
He's finished, because he has a lot of high upside players that are dice rolls, but he's got the two best running backs in the league. So,
not a horrible position. You should follow him and see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep track of how he does.
You know, if he starts stinking the bed or stinking it up, essing the bed, then he's not probably going to continue to post. But it'll be interesting to
see. Maybe not. That's why we should put him on the hook and be like, hey, post your stuff, your results.
Yeah.
And
yeah, let's see it.
This is how we grow as a community. Right? Let's see how it works.
This is how we grow as people.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Rate my draft.
So if you have specific questions about your league, you know, make sure you can send us an email at mail@thefantasyfootballguys.com. No, not that one?
No, you can.
Or how about thefantasyfootballguys@gmail.com?
Either one of those
That's work. Probably better. Try that one.
They'll both
Somebody work, told me mail didn't work the other day.
Didn't work?
Yeah.
No, I set it up as a redirect. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll look at it.
Thefantasyfootballguys@gmail.com.
That'll work,
most
too.
Definitely works. So yeah. Do that one. You can also, you know, hit us on Twitter. You can ask a 140-character question there. It would be at TFFG.
Or just, you know, spiral into a bunch of different tweets like Trump does. You know, send us five in a row with dot, dot, dots.
Right. And it's what, COFVEVE?
COFEFE?
COFEFE, yeah. COFEFE. You do that. What is COFEFE? That would be a question you'd ask us.
Yeah.
He's the
hottest new player.
I did hear that a lot of states have banned that word for license plates.
For license plates.
Yeah.
Dude, when it happened, I happened to wake up in the middle of the night that night.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't go back to sleep, so I got on Reddit, and I was like, what is this? Oh, and I got on Twitter. I immediately went to the Delaware vanity plate thing.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Oh.
Somebody had already beat me to it in Delaware.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So depressing. I was like, no, I want to call that thing. That's so good. Yeah. Trump's a goddamn disaster.
It's a whole different show. And anyway. Ask us questions as you want to. Toward the end of August, we're going to start our Saturday call-in shows again.
Yeah, man.
So you'll be able to get in on that. Hopefully, I was reading that the Delaware, somebody put a bill in Delaware to legalize daily fantasy sports again. So if that happens, we'll be able to do DraftKings leagues again.
Oh, yeah.
Those were a lot of fun.
They are
fun. But I don't want to have to cross the state line.
I did it a couple times last
year. To play it. Yeah, so did I. But as soon as I came back.
I live right on the border, though.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So it doesn't take me long. I would go down there to my shame, the KFC, eat some fried chicken and submit
would you
a
really?
Lineup. Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, have you had KFC fried chicken?
Oh, dude. I'm an American. Of course I have.
Shut up.
The original and the extra crispy.
By the way, it's KFC Taco Bell.
It is.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead and get it.
Both owned by Pepsi, both in the same building.
Yeah.
Have you had Royal Farms chicken?
I have.
It's all right.
Here's my thing. It's a little bit too greasy.
I'm all right with that.
I know, but the KFC.
You know what you do? You know what you do is you don't.
Have you rocked Popeyes yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's right up the road. Good Lord.
I try
to get the beans and rice too.
Yeah.
Shut up with the biscuits.
With the biscuits?
With them biscuits?
Yeah. So, make sure you ask us questions. We're going to be here. Jesus.
Hey, we know a lot about fast food. A couple of fat dudes.
Yeah. Fat old guys.
Middle aged fat guys.
We could talk about food and beer all night, but we're not gonna.
That's right.
All right, then.
It's a good time.
Hopefully we answered some questions, gave you some tips about drafting.
Probably not.
Make sure you go to thefantasyfootballguys.com and look for the Magic Formula
Plus,
Calculator.
Plus, we get the whole forum. It's back up now. You can ask questions. And
it was down for...
Usually Kevin and I answer. A bunch of other people answer.
It was down for, like, a few weeks.
3 weeks, I think. Maybe four. 5?
I don't know.
All right, maybe.
It was a while.
Yeah.
But it's back, so you know, good community, good dudes there. So
yeah, a lot of good people.
Not just good dudes, good people, Lyle.
Are you assuming gender?
You said no, dudes? I'm not assuming gender.
That's what I'm saying. If you say dudes, are you assuming gender? I think dude can just apply to everybody.
I don't know. My wife calls her female friends dudes.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of become gender nonspecific at this point.
Not a gender thing.
Yeah.
Shut up. Are you triggered?
Of all the words in the English language, that's one of my least favorite.
I've triggered you before.
Well,
twice.
The action, I don't mind. The word, I don't really like.
The time we were at the Eagles game, and I got super hype when they came out, and I punched you in the chest, and you got mad.
Oh, dude, I was ready to take your head off.
He was super triggered.
Yeah, and I got super violent.
Yeah, we weren't even drinking. No. I just was hype. B-Dog came out on the field. I was like, oh.
Yeah, dude, you hit me right in like in a bad spot, and it hurt, and I responded in kind.
Don't be such a wuss.
Yeah, well. You were the one begging for mercy.
I didn't beg for mercy.
Yeah, you did.
No. I don't think I said mercy. I think I said chill out.
Maybe. But you had a look of fear.
Mm.
dude, it was years
probably
ago,
confusion, and I might have had to poop. So
maybe that was the look.
That was the look.
Because you are full of... Yeah. Anyway, we're out. Enjoy your week. We'll be back next Wednesday to talk about more football and, I don't know, maybe beer and food.
Maybe.
Anyway. All right, we're out. See you.
Peace. Love you a minute.